Rainmaker FM.
This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com. Welcome to The Showrunner, where we have one goal: teach you how to develop, launch, and run a remarkable show. Ready?
Welcome back to The Showrunner. This is episode number 99. Yes, we are just one episode away from number 100. I am your host, Jared Morris, VP of Marketing for Rainmaker Digital, and I will be joined momentarily, as I usually am here on The Showrunner, by my name is John, but you can call me Johnny, co-host Johnny Naster, the host of Hack the Entrepreneur. Johnny, I think anybody who's been with us for 99 going on 100 episodes can call you Johnny, right?
Absolutely.
Isn't that cool?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. Just confirming. So The Showrunner, as it always is brought to you by the all-new Studio Press Sites, a turnkey solution that combines the ease of an all-in-one website builder with the flexible power of WordPress. It's perfect for bloggers, podcasters, and affiliate marketers, as well as those selling physical products, digital downloads, and membership programs, or maybe all of those things, if you're all of those things. If you're ready to take your WordPress site to the next level, see for yourself why over 200,000 website owners trust StudioPress. Go to rainmaker.fm/StudioPress right now. That's rainmaker.fm/StudioPress. So Johnny, as I mentioned, episode number 100 is coming up. We have something very, very special planned, a Q&A. We've gotten a bunch of questions. We actually did an episode a couple episodes ago about the power of the Q&A format. And so we're actually going to use that ourselves and do a Q&A for episode number 100. So you are not going to want to miss it. Now, Johnny, I don't know if episode 100 is going to be that special of an occasion for you, because you're way past 100 over there on Hack the Entrepreneur. I don't even know if you can remember back to your 100th episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. Can you remember back that far?
Of course I can. Are you suggesting that I'm old or that I've just done a lot of episodes?
I'm just wondering if your episode 100 was special in any way. Might have made it memorable.
It was very special. It was the first and only time, actually, since 340-something episodes now, since I was on the other side of the interview. I was interviewed by Mr. Jared Morris for my 100th episode. And I remember because I was in Vancouver at the time. It was a fun summer. And it was a special episode to me. I really liked it. So I definitely remember it. But also, this one is significant, too.
Yes, it is.
Because it's 99. And I think this made me think when I heard this intro from you, it made me think back. I can't remember which episode, but there was a time on an episode where we were talking about sort of like longevity and sort of the idea of continually putting out shows, and how sometimes when you put out a show and you start a show, you don't think of it in terms of like, will I continue, or like, will I make it to 10 episodes? Will I make it to 20 past that like weird number that people usually stop at? I know I've started shows like that where it's like, I just want to get to 15 episodes. But this was a show, and like Hack the Entrepreneur, that when I started it, it was just obvious that we were going to get here. And there's never like a time where it's like, oh, like, should it keep? It's like, no, we just keep doing it. And so I really like that. And I like that feeling of it. And it makes it extra special that when you get to 100, it's like, there it is. 2 years later, but here we are.
I agree. So make sure that you join us next week. But this week, we have a really, really interesting topic. And we've got to give a huge hat tip to our buddy Chris Stanley from iapath.com, who I had the great pleasure of meeting here in Dallas several months back. But he has kept us updated on his podcast project. And this is a guy with just enthusiasm for days. And it comes across when you meet him in person, and it comes across in his emails. And so it is absolutely no surprise to me that he is being successful. But he sent us an email with an update on his show. And that email serves as the inspiration for this episode. And I want to read the email because I think it provides a few interesting observations for us to make as a jumping off point to this episode about the power of evergreen content. So here's the first part of this email from Chris. John and Jared, I wanted to show you the stats from the podcast and point out two things I find interesting. First, I fell off the podcasting wagon and didn't publish an episode in April until the 20th, a month between episodes. Bad me, but look at the stats. Without publishing an episode for a month, my show has nearly doubled each month. So although growth is small, it is growing. That month I didn't podcast, I grew my email list to over 300, wrote a book on the topic, sold courses, etc. Everything else is fueling the podcast versus the podcast fueling everything else. And so we're going to talk here in just a minute about why this is happening. But Johnny, there's actually another observation or kind of a more general comment just about Chris's show that you want to make. And I think it's an important one. So let's talk about that real quick before we jump in to talking about evergreen content.
Yeah. This, I think it's beneficial to really kick in. So I'm slipping on the title of it right now.
IAPath.com.
IAPath.com. So IA stands for insurance adjusters. Insurance adjusters. Those people who come to your house and figure out how much damage was done and how much it's going to cost the insurance company or how much you're going to receive. And more specifically for catastrophic residential, I believe, insurance.
Meaning like hail damage on your car, roof damage, that kind of thing, at least for us here in Texas.
Exactly. So I love this because, first of all, I never would have thought at all of a podcast for insurance adjusters. And so when Chris reached out to us, this was a year or two ago, maybe about a year ago.
It's been a while.
He started this, right? And then he joined the course, the Showrunner Podcasting course. And I remember thinking, wow, this is the most specific niche I could imagine. But it's fascinating. It's fascinating because it's not an interview show. It's not a show where it's based on the marketing niche or the business or something really popular. It's not doing comedy. It's not doing the things that we think of as big podcasts. And Chris is very much proving that your show doesn't have to be quote unquote big or successful in that way to be super successful in what the show was meant to do and what it was like, what the cause or the purpose of his show was for his business, which was to build an audience, but not just that, it was also to build authority. And so us, when we, as showrunners, I think when we get so far into showrunning, we think of somebody else starting a podcast and we're not sort of like wowed by it. But it's a fascinating thing that most of the world just has no concept of ever how to start a podcast. And so it immediately puts you up on this pedestal of being an expert or authority in that marketplace for having a show. It's obviously less so if you get into, again, like the marketing space or the business space like I'm in. Lots of people do it. Lots of people, as marketers, lots of people start shows. But when you're in something like this, it's fascinating to me because he actually went on to say in this email that he actually had more more participants, like more people who bought his course now than he has listeners of his show, which is really fascinating to me. Yeah, exactly. So just think of that when we're going through this. This is for insurance adjusters for catastrophic insurance. Yeah. I love it, Chris. I love it.
I did too. I did too. So, okay. So what's happening here, right? So he had, certain number of listeners in February. It grew in March. It grew in April, despite him not even putting out any episodes, as he said, until the 20th. How can a podcast continue to attract listeners, continue to grow in an audience when there's no new content being put out there? Well, quite simply, this can happen when podcast topics are evergreen. And what do we mean when we say that a topic is evergreen? That means that that content is useful the day that it is broadcast, 6 months later, a year later, 2 years later, you know, perhaps even longer than that, because it's about a topic that maintains relevancy, right? Like, for example, the vast majority of the episodes of The Showrunner and the content that we have discussed is evergreen. Now, perhaps back in our first few episodes, you know, we talked about something with iTunes. Like, for example, iTunes now has Podcast Connect, which has changed things a little bit. So maybe an individual discussion that we had about iTunes isn't still relevant today, but what would you say? 98.9% of what we've talked about on The Showrunner is basically evergreen and still relevant today?
Absolutely.
And that's a powerful thing. And if you are talking about, you know, underlying principles and those kinds of things, you can create evergreen content. And what that means is that time that you invest in the content, it's not just going to pay dividends and attract an audience for a week or for a few days, but well into the future. And that's a powerful thing. And when you look at the titles of Chris's topics, right? How to get more deployments as a hail adjuster without breaking the bank on licenses. Okay. I mean, obviously, it depends on how he's covering the topic, but that is going to be relevant today and probably 2 years from now and probably 4 years from now, right? How the us versus them mentality as is an adjuster career killer. Yeah, we're talking about basic underlying principles here that are going to be worthwhile for someone who is looking to get into insurance adjusting, and in particular, the kind of insurance adjusting that Chris is doing for well into the future. And it's such a powerful concept, Johnny. And that's why we want to cover it in this episode and really give you some compelling reasons to produce more evergreen content, which, you know, if you have a current show and you're not doing evergreen content, then hopefully it's something that inspires you to try and find ways to do that. If you're still at the stage where you're trying to figure out what kind of show you want to do, allow this episode to present some evidence for why you want to consider a topic where you can produce evergreen content. So I'm really excited about it because I think this is something that could really help anyone listening out well, you know, for the long term as you start thinking about your content strategy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Can I also bring my daughter into this conversation?
Yeah, for sure.
Because my daughter started a podcast years ago, and she actually put out her last episode. I looked it up this morning. She put out her last episode January of 2015. So over 2 years ago now, she started a podcast called Between Two Worlds, and she was fascinated with reading. So she would read like a kid's novel, and then she would do like little book report sort of thing on it and do different voices and do jokes and all kinds. She just had fun with it and playing with GarageBand and stuff. And she stopped that show over 2 years ago. And because her Libsyn account is attached to my account, I can just switch between shows. So I do that randomly. And I'm always fascinated by her downloads. Because she, again, it wasn't something that got pushed. It didn't get marketed. She just started a show, put up a website. She had some listeners. She got feedback from other kids that were listening to it and such. But over 2 years ago for her show, and again, evergreen content because it's books that kids are still reading as they're growing up through that age now. Her all-time downloads now are just over 21,000 downloads, which is over double what it was at the time she quit.
But that's awesome.
Yeah, I know. In April of this year, so last month, she had 478 downloads. And in March, the month before, she had 572 downloads. And also, just like randomly, you'll go through and there'll be a spike of like 250 downloads in a day. And I've tried so hard, like, where is this coming from? And it's just like iTunes, but like, I can't find it on iTunes, like, except for searching it by name. But it's fascinating to me because this is the reason when you're stuck thinking about, should I start the show on this topic and will it immediately bring me benefits? I don't know if it will immediately bring you benefits, but 2 years later, there's still a potential. And 3 years later of these things, this work you're putting in now, it'll leverage and sort of scale out and continue working for you well into the future until you really decide to actually just take it down because you don't want it up there in public anymore.
We need to have her on the show. She could teach us a few things, I think. All right, so let's jump in and let's talk about this because we've got three really powerful reasons why you should produce more evergreen content. But let me start this by saying, okay, so why would anyone ever not do evergreen content? Like, are we saying with this episode that you should only do evergreen content? Absolutely not. There is certainly a place for non-evergreen content, for timely content. And one thing that I will say about evergreen content that you really want to make sure that you're careful with is you have to have the right mindset for evergreen content. Because a lot of times, evergreen content isn't necessarily going to be the kind of content that's going to get you a huge spike like that first day. But it's just going to be a slow burn for a long time and continue bringing people in, especially if your content is about something searchable. Now, I have learned this firsthand with the assembly call, because the assembly call, my IU basketball postgame show, is the complete opposite of evergreen content. That is content that is literally, you know, relevant for 24 to 48 hours. And as soon as the next game is played, like, it's basically irrelevant. that we have, you know, there's been some just hugely, you know, impactful, memorable games where people still go back and listen to the old post-game shows, or we'll repost them. But those are very few and far between. For the most part, we've got to get our downloads in the first 24 to 48 hours after a game, or we're not getting them. Now, so the downside to that is we're putting this time into producing the content, and it's not really paying a long-term dividend, and that content isn't out there still churning downloads. The upside is that we get between 4,500 to 6,000 downloads in the first 24 to 48 hours when everyone is rushing for content about that topic. So there is definitely a place for timely, you know, newsworthy content. There's no question about it. It goes back to what is your goal? So for us, you know, with that show, with that content, that context, that audience, you know, we're building an audience around, you know, really capitalizing on those 24 to 48 hours of interest. We've got sponsors, you know, people donate to our show, and it works. If, as most people listening to the showrunner, if you are, you know, using a podcast as a form of content marketing, building an audience to attract people to your services or to a course or to something like that, then there may be a place, and there probably should be a place for evergreen content in your podcast mix. But I wanted to make that distinction. We're not saying that non-evergreen content isn't good. It can be fantastic, but I think a lot of times we get really intrigued by the non-evergreen content because it's like, oh my God, I got 3,000 downloads in 24 hours. And that can be awesome, but don't let it, you know, in your own mind, discount the power of evergreen just because it takes a little bit more patience to see it pay off.
So are you, a few episodes ago, you told us that you are doing like audio versions of blog posts.
Yes.
Are those meant to be more evergreen?
Even that content, at least so far, has not been evergreen because it's still about, like, you know, news events that happen. Okay. So now eventually I might, you know, like we have a whole series on, you know, IU artifacts where this, you know, an IU historian basically comes and tells the stories of these artifacts. And so I could eventually turn that into a podcast series and that would be more evergreen, but I haven't gotten there yet. Still, yeah, everything is still, you know, very much timely. So, all right, so let's get to these three powerful reasons why you should produce more evergreen content. And I'll tell you right up front what all three are, and then we're going to break them down. You got the power of leverage, the power of repurposing, and the power of connection, and the possibility for infatuation. So those are the three. So let's start with the power of leverage. And really, Chris explained the power of leverage wonderfully because, number one, you can step away and your show will keep attracting new audience members when your content is evergreen. What's very important to remember here is that you want to have an evergreen call to action. Because if someone listens to an episode a year from now, that's great, but only so much as they're taking some kind of action on it. So if you're sending them to a landing page that is no longer relevant, then that's not, you know, obviously you'll get the listen and maybe you get the attention and people subscribe, but you're not maximizing it if you don't have an evergreen call to action on there. So that's extremely important. Also, while you're away, the second point here is that you can work on other big picture items like Chris did. So you've got the power of leverage allows you to step away. Your show continues to attract new audience members, and you can go work on other big picture projects. So Chris, you know, wrote a book and he's selling courses. You have the ability to step away and your podcast will keep going. For the assembly call during the season, if I want to take 2 weeks off, no new content comes up and we're not getting many downloads because it's all very timely content. With evergreen content, you really do have that ability to step away. And then this power of leverage also is going to give you some added value with sponsors who are going to get residual attention from your episodes for a long time. Now, the caveat here is that most podcast sponsors, you know, they're really looking at the first week and the first month of downloads. That's what speaks the most to them. But you are able to say, hey, look, you know, our archive is generating X amount of downloads. We have an episode from 2 years ago on X topic that just, you know, got 200 downloads last week. So this episode, this sponsorship, if what you're selling is going to stay on there in perpetuity, that's going to give that sponsor additional value. So, and there are other elements here, but the power of leverage is, to me, you know, the single most compelling reason that you would want to go with evergreen content because of what it allows you to do in stepping away and your podcast continues to grow while you're able to work on other things.
Exactly. So that's one thing I've gotten wrong on my way to, I guess, trying to create 300 episodes of evergreen content. I've messed up my call to action. And no, maybe I shouldn't say I've messed it up, but I have had very timely calls to action. And I leave them in because I think it's too much work to go back. And I think that people understand that the date on the episode says like January of 2016. And the call to action was for a specific amount of time, it says, for the next 3 weeks. I think people understand that if that landing page, I do redirect it so it ends up just on a main landing page, but that call to action is now done. Because there's a real power in having something very time specific, and you know what I mean, for scarcity, and for that really does help at times. And you can go back and change those calls to action if you want as well. But It's that sort of leveraging both ways of it. Like the content itself is very much evergreen and people can listen to it years into the future. But the calls to action aren't necessarily always. And I
agree with you. I mean, I think there are times when you need, you know, when you're doing a promotion, or you have something very timely that you want to do that. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean that every episode has to have an evergreen call to action. But, you know, when you're just starting out, if you're producing evergreen content, you really want to think about that. You know, and so, you know, put a URL out there that you're going to keep somewhat general, you know, and that is going to be an evergreen call to action that you can send people to. Certainly redirecting people, you know, if it's one of those time-specific URLs and people happen to go, that's a really smart strategy. But you just want to think through that ahead of time. So again, when you're going to have a big promotion, certainly do that and don't worry that maybe this won't be evergreen because you've got to capitalize on the here and now. But what about all the other episodes? You know, exactly. Maybe don't wait till episode 50 to start thinking about it if you know your content's going to be evergreen. So we've got the power of leverage. The second powerful reason to produce more evergreen content is the power of repurposing. And, you know, Johnny, I find that as we get more into our shows and our shows become more mature, we're just naturally finding, you know, learning more about the power of repurposing because we talk about it a lot now. And I think there's a reason because it's such a smart thing to do. It allows you to work smarter, not harder, allows you to work more efficiently and capitalize on your best ideas. And the first point here that's important to know is that you can turn your best episodes into blog posts if you're creating evergreen content. Now, there would be absolutely no reason for me to create a transcript and turn a post-game show into a blog post because, again, the work required to do that is not going to pay off when it's only relevant for 24 to 48 hours. But for us, for example, like the power of evergreen content, it was powerful 10 years ago. It's powerful today. It's going to be powerful 5-10 years from now, Johnny. So we could repurpose this, turn it into a blog post, and now that's going to be able to attract non-audio people to this very same content. And it would be worth the time investment, potentially, because it is an evergreen topic. Now, the question is, of course, if you're going to turn an episode into a blog post, where are you going to post that blog? And I would suggest that you do it on a site hosted at StudioPress with StudioPress Sites. Because as I mentioned to you at the beginning of the show, StudioPress Sites is a turnkey solution that combines the ease that you're looking for from an all-in-one website builder with the flexible power of WordPress. And those are not too elements that are easy to balance. They can be difficult to balance, but StudioPress Sites does it. And that's why it's perfect for bloggers, podcasters, and affiliate marketers, as I mentioned. So, I mean, you can have a great podcast episode and then turn it into a blog post all there from in one content management system on one site, which is really nice. And then you can also, you know, go to the next step. I mean, if you're creating podcast episodes and you're creating blog posts, why are you doing that? Hopefully so that eventually you can sell physical products, digital downloads, membership programs, and on and on. So if you're ready to take your WordPress site to the next level, if you're ready to turn to host a podcast and to turn your evergreen podcast episodes into blog posts and then continue to go to the next level after that, then you want to see for yourself why over 200,000 website owners trust StudioPress. So go to rainmaker.fm/studiopress right now. That's rainmaker.fm/studiopress and check it out.
I want to see this for myself. I've been hearing these ads, and I have to say I'm intrigued, Jared.
Are you?
I'm very much intrigued by this.
You should not go to rainmaker.fm/studiopress right now because we have a recording to do.
Oh, right.
After we're done, then you should go. Okay. So I talked about the first point from the power of repurposing. Let me quickly talk about the next two points. And then, Johnny, let's discuss this. So the second point is, and this is something that you've done, is you can combine podcast episodes that you've already produced into a new podcast feed on a sub niche to then attract more attention or you know, maybe even a little bit of a different audience, but really hone in on one element. So like, for instance, Johnny, I mean, you've done 300 and some episodes of Hack the Entrepreneur, you know, and maybe you've done, you know, there have been 10 about people who created, you know, a lifestyle business around a SaaS product, or, you know, 10 episodes where people, you know, provided their best tips on, you know, how to manage their email in the morning, or like whatever, like literally any sub niche that you could think about, and you could combine entire episodes or take pieces of episodes and basically put them into a new podcast feed. And it would be a new feed out there, optimized around different search terms, ready to go and new and noteworthy. So that's another area where you could repurpose. And then, of course, the third element here is you can use episodes as the basis for a book or course. But again, you can only do this if the content is evergreen. If it was timely, if it was just newsworthy for a couple of days, then doing any repurposing is not going to make a difference. But if it's evergreen, turn it into blog posts, create new feeds, use it as the basis for a book or course, and we could go on and on. But evergreen content allows you to leverage the power of repurposing, which is another reason to do it.
Yeah, I like this. This to me is almost, it seems like not the initial way, I think, to repurpose stuff, but this is a fascinating way. So I did the top 10 for Hack the Entrepreneur. I pulled the top 10 episodes from my feed that was over, there's about 250 at the time, I believe. I pulled the top 10 due to popularity. I pulled out the ads from them. I sold a new ad package to FreshBooks. I gave it a new artwork and I relaunched it and gave it a separate page on my site where I direct people to, kind of gives them a good sort of overall feel when they find my show of what to expect from the show. But now that I'm over actually 300 on iTunes or Podcast Connect, I guess you could call it now, it only goes up to 300. Your archive only shows, or your feed will only show 300. So now I've actually just started and I'm going to take my first 100 episodes and do a Hack the Entrepreneur first 100 as an archive, because you can't find them on iTunes anymore. And so it's a perfect reason to launch a new show and to get it into the iTunes, get it into the search engines, and repurpose that. I don't think I'll pull those ads and redo it like that, but that's absolutely something that needs to be done. And since I'm doing that, and I don't need to do the second 100 yet, but I probably will sort of do them both in conjunction and get them both out there, sort of one after each other, and use that to call to action everybody back to the site and sort of build on the main feed.
And you know, and someone may ask, like, okay, well, why would you go back? I mean, you've done 300 episodes. Why would you go back and do those first, you know, few episodes? How is that stuff still relevant? Well, if the content's evergreen, it's still relevant. And I will tell you, there have been so many times when I have been looking for a podcast episode about a specific topic. This has happened for me a lot since my daughter was born, because I found myself searching for a lot more, you know, specific topics as she goes through different stages. And you know, my wife and I are interested in researching different elements of parenting, and I search on topics and I find episodes from 3, 4, 5 years ago. Sometimes the show is no longer there. Sometimes the show is still going on, and that was my entry point to the show. Now, I would never subscribe to the show and actually go back 300 episodes or binge listen to all of them, but what it does, and this is why, you know, having descriptive titles around searchable keywords is important, is it puts the individual episodes out there for discovery. And you never know who that next person is that's going to discover an episode from 4 years ago that answers a question still that is relevant to the person today, and the answer is still relevant. And now they subscribe, you know, find out what you're doing, and they become a member of your audience for current shows. Don't discount the power of that, which is why, Johnny, I think that's a really smart idea that you have to keep those episodes in there, even though they fall out of your main feed archive.
Exactly. And that's the reason. It's not so that somebody can like find episode 73 and then go back 72 episodes and forward to 100. It's just, that's the entry point. the more content we can get into these search engines properly keyworded, people can have the ability to find that one episode. And that one episode, if they're into it, then should send them to your main feed for the new stuff. That's awesome. Or they can look through and see if there's anything else of interest. But it's just an entry point. That's it. It's you're not trying to kid yourself that people are going to download all 100 of those episodes or whatever that archive is. It's really just another entry point for people.
Yep. All right. So we have talked about the power of leverage. We've talked about the power of repurposing here as we explore the power of creating more evergreen content. And as Johnny, as I sat down to put this outline together, those were the two that came to me the quickest. Like those were the clearest, the most obvious reasons to produce evergreen content. But you know, in some ways, I feel like this third reason might even be the most powerful, even though it took me a little longer to kind of think about it. But it makes so much sense when you do. And it's the power of connection and the possibility for infatuation. And let me explain what I mean by that. So when you have evergreen content, all right, it encourages sharing and linking and saving and re-listening to shows. If your content is only relevant for a day or two, you know, now what you're asking of your audience members is you have such a small window for people to find the show, to listen to the show, and to still have time to kind of share it and link to it where it'll still be relevant. Because no one's going to want to share a show that, you know, kind of isn't really relevant or is on its last legs of relevancy. And, you know, we see that with the assembly call. You know, shares right when we put it out, you know, they're much higher because, hey, this content is still relevant. The game just ended. This is awesome. You know, a day later, 2 days later, people are already looking ahead to the next game. You know, and that can happen with news shows. You know, people are already looking ahead to the next story, you know, or the next episode of a TV show, like whatever it is. And so you may not encourage the same kind of sharing. Or the other thing is saving. I mean, I've saved tons of podcast episodes in Evernote or on Google Keep. And, you know, then I'll go back and listen to them later. But a timely show, like a news show, I'm not going to do that because I know that I'm never going to listen to it again. So that helps you connect with current listeners and also helps you obviously share and spread the word. Evergreen content can do it. Maybe not necessarily the avalanche of shares right at the moment, but that slow burn over time, which is what we're talking about building here. The other thing to remember is that evergreen content provides the opportunity for binge listening. So as we just said, you know, like Johnny's not putting, you know, his archive episodes out there because he thinks people are going to go back and listen to every single one. But guess what? No one's going to binge listen to your show if only your most recent episode is relevant. And this has happened to me a lot of times where I find a show, you know, I search for an episode of a show, I find it, I like it, it's about an evergreen topic, and I'll just start downloading every episode. Like I found, what's the name of the show? Your Parenting Mojo. If you're, you know, into parenting podcasts, it's a great parenting podcast. You know, and I didn't find that show until, I don't know, maybe 5-6 months ago, and it had already been going on. But I found the show and I went back, and you know, all the episodes are evergreen. And so I downloaded them all and have binge listened to every single one of them. And because it's evergreen, it provided the opportunity for me to do that. And having evergreen episodes, you know, the other thing that I think it does, and I have found this myself as a listener, is it gives people a reason to listen deep into your archives, and that allows people to see how far you've come. So it's like, you know, and that happened with this, you know, Your Parenting Mojo podcast. You know, as you can see kind of when she started, you know, and doesn't quite sound as confident, and the audio quality is not quite as, you know, like all the stuff that we all face when we first put a podcast out there into the world. But now you see how much the quality has grown, and especially if you binge listen, you can kind of hear it incrementally get better. And I really think there's something subtle and even subconscious about that, that as an audience member, it's like you've now gone on the journey with that person and you've seen where they were, you've seen where they've gone, you've seen that they clearly have invested in learning and getting better, maybe invested money in a, you know, better microphone, better sound quality. And it, you know, when you see where something has been and where it's gone, it feels like you're part of something that's growing. And I really think that is a powerful way to lock in an audience member and to get people excited about your show and to get people kind of leaning forward when that next episode comes out. Because if you've come so far, well, where are you going to go next? You know, I want to find that out. I want to be part of it as an audience member. And when you provide people that ability to connect with you and that possibility for the kind of podcast infatuation that makes a listener download your entire archive and listen to it over the course of a week, or go back, you know, every couple of weeks and get four or five more episodes, all the different ways that we can binge listen to a podcast. When you provide that possibility for infatuation, you really give your show a chance to connect in a different way with an audience member than you can ever really connect with a show that isn't evergreen like that and that can't ever really encourage that kind of, you know, burst of listens that you get when someone binges. And so that's why I think the power of connection and the possibility for infatuation is a next level potential that doing evergreen content, producing more evergreen content will give you. And when combined with the power of leverage and the power of repurposing, makes evergreen content something really, really powerful that you should consider for your shows. But Johnny, what are your thoughts on the power of connection and the possibility for infatuation? Because I have to think that you've gotten a lot of listeners and locked in a lot of audience members through that with your show.
Yeah, I guess I did this sort of inadvertently without really being aware of it. Because as you said, it was the first two came really quickly and this one took some time. But you're right, the power of connection and having people sort of go back through those, it's a fascinating thing. And I was actually taking some notes because I was like, there's a couple of things I should actually do to go back. Like I was actually thinking I should go back to my Start Here page and I should put in my very first episode, there, just put the player right there and just be like, you're starting here, but we're at episode 340. Things have changed a lot. Here's where it started. Because it was with Chris Brogan and I was super nervous. I had never interviewed anybody. And so it's come a long ways, but that would be something. They're not probably going to listen to the whole thing even right there, but it just shows the other side of you and it allows people, I think that would draw them in like, wow, that's cool. You know what I mean? And that would definitely, and then if you especially had like, make sure to subscribe to the show now, right below it, that would push people right there.
There's a vulnerability to it and people connect with vulnerability, you know? And so when they hear your early episodes and that they weren't as great and that you've grown, there's a vulnerability there that people connect to. And you know, I think it's great. Like, I think that's a really smart thing to do, like to be that explicit about it, like literally start here, listen to where we began. But even without being that explicit about it, just having an archive out there with evergreen content so people can go and discover that on their own, there's a powerful level of connection. And will the majority of your audience members do that? No. Will a lot of them do that? No, probably not. But you'll get a handful, a select few, but man, you can really lock those people in. And those are going to be the people who are going to share it with other people, you know, that are going to buy courses that you put out, that are going to be with you over the long haul. And we all need a core group of audience members like that. And I think when you give people that possibility for infatuation and allow them to connect in that way, boy, it can really give you some powerful audience members that become almost an unfair advantage for you as a podcaster as you move forward. Because those are the people that keep you going and that support your show through thick and thin. And that's a huge thing to have. All right, so let's go over these again. The three powerful reasons to produce more evergreen content: the power of leverage, the power of repurposing, and the power of connection and the possibility for infatuation. Those three powerful elements are all at your fingertips when you produce more evergreen content. So if you aren't producing evergreen content right now, think about it, consider it. Try to challenge yourself to think about ways that you can fit evergreen content into what you're doing. Even if you're doing, you know, a timely show, a news-related show, you know, a current events type show like I'm doing on the Assembly Call, you know, I'm now trying to think of ways that I can get more evergreen content in there. Think about it, challenge yourself to do that. And again, if you're, you know, thinking about a new content strategy for a show or you know, any show that you have, consider ways that you can get more evergreen content in there so that you can add all of these powerful elements to your show and to your audience growth. And if you are looking to start a new podcast, we have something for you that we want you to take advantage of. And that is the Beginner's Guide to Launching a Remarkable Podcast, which is a simple, no-frills, 9-step plan to get your podcast off the ground. You're going to learn a lot in this guide. You're going to learn how to define your audience of one and pick your format. You will learn 6 paths to podcast monetization. You'll learn about equipment that we used when we first started our podcast. And to get this free 9-step beginner's guide to launching a podcast, you want to go to showrunner.fm/report. That's showrunner.fm/report. All you have to do is enter an email address. And when you do that, you will immediately get the beginner's guide to launching a remarkable podcast. And you will also get a very insightful email sequence that gives you some really interesting things to think about with your show, asks you some kind of, you know, deep questions that really get you thinking. We've gotten some amazing responses to the questions that we've posed in this email sequence. And so that's another bonus that you get when you go to showrunner.fm/report and enter your email address. So do that today if you haven't done it already.
Very cool. That was fun.
That was fun.
Let's take one more moment to thank Chris for sending that email, for sharing his stats with us and allowing us to share it with the audience. There's something really, I think, special and helpful to both Jared and I, and also you as a listener, when we get to answer real questions, like actual questions from the audience, and things you're either learning, realizing, or need to learn about your show as you start it, launch it, and kind of scale it and grow it. So once again, episode 100 is coming up. If you have any questions and would like to be on the show, or have your question on the show, and we will, I guess, mention your website as well, if you wish, then email us. That would be, I guess, how do you email us? You email us at...
I just email me, jared@copyblogger.com.
There we go.
Yeah.
You're doling out your email. I guess mine's john@hacktheentrepreneur.com. Yeah,
I'm fine.
Or you can tweet us, or you can track either of us down on Facebook. There's a ton of places to kind of reach out to us, either through our sites or through Showrunner. You can even hit reply to the Showrunner email if you're on that newsletter. Love to answer your questions. And have we mentioned Chris's website?
iapath.com.
iapath.com. Check it out. You can see the whole show that we're talking about, or we talked about on this episode, and see what you can kind of use from what he's doing and implement it in your own show.
Absolutely. All right. We will talk to you next week for episode 100.
Take care.